Okay. I use the Scorpio rising chart for the United States of America. Not very many astrologers do. Most of them have not even heard of it because there's an astrological consensus of a different chart. But I have proven this out for myself, and so this is what I use. I don't ever argue with anybody about what chart is accurate for the United States of America. It's a country. It's not a baby drawing its first breath. This is where the 2 o'clock comes from, a quote from John Hancock at the time. Scorpio rising, I always loved the don't tread on me symbol because to me, that's spiritual people who didn't get hooked into the duality of hating on the snakes. the smaller perspective, the more spiritually adolescent perspective of duality that a lot of Christians today have. But not only Christians. I remember a Native American friend of mine who said to me once, this was years ago, he's gone now. He used to make pipes. He was quite well known locally for making pipes. And he said, you know, a lot of Indians are really Christian. And what he meant was really judgmental, hooked into duality and pointing the finger, which is exactly what Yeshua pointedly told us not to do. Judge not. You'll be judged the same way you judge others. And we have a lot of that going on now, which is an example of the lower ego mind in the driver's seat of our consciousness. So this is the chart I use. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to the truth of who we are, what we are, where we are. 4 degrees of Scorpio rising. Next. Then our Pluto return. We've been in our Pluto return since about 2022 through 2024. Pluto is such a large cycle that it only returns about 250 years. So we're in our first Pluto return since the birth of this country, the United States of America. Pluto was at 27 degrees of Capricorn when the Revolutionary War was fought. And it has come back around for the first time to 27 degrees of Capricorn, our very first Pluto return as a nation, the last several years. That's huge. And as I mentioned in the talk, there really aren't any examples of any great societies surviving their Pluto return. If we flip next, there's a list of empires, and we see that they pretty much don't make it past 250 years. And Pluto's cycle is going to vary by about 2 decades anyway, because it's such an elliptical long orbit. Next. Pluto return in the United States chart, since it only happens in 250 years, then we've got to figure about 5 years for the Pluto return, even though the return actually has happened. It's just so big. It's a bigger process. It takes a few years to complete. So in the United States chart, Pluto returned in Capricorn in the third house. And you can review the list here of the matters associated with Pluto's return in the third house. We might recall that the third house is the daily mind, lower mind, the ego mind. Of course, it has its perfectly good function. We're not saying it's less than anything. It has its right place. It's coming and going and speaking and texting and talking on the phone and going shopping, thinking, mental health, and air quality, our general circulation among each other, in K-12, education, etc., breathing. Well, people wearing masks right off the bat in early 2020, it really illustrates for us the Saturn-Pluto conjunction among the population and the people who just fell right into the contraction of it. And in the USA chart, Pluto opposes Mercury in the birth chart of the United States of America. And Mercury's up in that ninth house of higher mind and spiritual wisdom. That's the bigger picture, cognition, okay? That's the crown chakra. That's international relations, long-distance travel. And it's a natural polar opposite to the lower ego mind. Next. In mundane astrology, which is more for the masses of people and for world changes among society, the third house, field of experience, signifies all forms of transport, cars, trucks, river traffic, railways, and roads. And we've had a lot of destruction in those matters. Next, by now, the U.S. averages 2 to 3 train wrecks every day somewhere. Some are worse than others. This one wasn't too bad. This was last July in Big Lake. What also has come to light is that many of the trains don't have anybody on them anymore because they let a lot of their employees go, and the trains are sometimes being operated by remote control. And so that's contributing to some of the train wrecks. Next. Another problem with Pluto's return in the third house of the lower ego mind is the addiction to technology, and specifically cell phones. It is so bad for our youth. I'm so happy to see that finally schools are considering putting down the cell phones, at least for the time that they're in a classroom, because there's such an addiction. And it's really taking a toll on our productivity as a nation, on people's ability to think, to be present, ADHD, ADD, to drive consciously and well. It's taking a significant toll on people's cognitive abilities. And I made this meme some time ago that, you know, it just reminded me of what Yeshua said. Hold fast to what you have so that no man takes your crown chakra. And this is what happens with cell phone addiction. As Dr. Jack Cruz has stated, it captures the dopamine tracks in your head. And so now we see people, it looks like they can't even think without a cell phone that they're looking at. When I see kids come out of the high school in my area, every one of them is looking down at a phone. It is so unnatural. It deeply troubles me because, you know, I study these energies. I could always see them. I'm electrically perceptive. And I knew what it was doing from the get-go. That's why I've never owned one, never wanted one. And I'm thankful that I can live my life very well without a cell phone. Acetylcholine is the higher thinking molecule in our brains. And when we're getting addicted to technology, cell phones and other tech, it's actually hijacking our higher thinking molecule, acetylcholine, into addiction via the dopamine tracks. And so people are losing the ability to think in a bigger picture way. And this is part of the reason why we have so much strife and hatred among ourselves as a society now. It's very sad. It's very unnatural. And it's one of the biggest problems that we have. My daughter manages young people, large groups of young people, and they will send a group for training and nobody can remember what they were just taught. It is just really devastating. Much more than people know. And, you know, the consequences are coming. We need to wake up. We need to get a clue about this. And not only is it dumbing human beings down, it's destroying nature. We've known this for decades, that the cell towers, the wireless radiation, the cell phones are destroying nature across the spectrum. From killing trees, and I have documented this. You know, I have another website on EMFR pollution. And I don't have time to do much with it now. But it'll be evident, I hope and pray, soon to more people. You know, smart meters on houses kill the insects, and people's gardens will be getting poorer and poorer, and it's just not good. Next. Okay, the Jupiter-Saturn cycle renewed at the end of 2020 in December at 0 degrees of Aquarius. And this is of note because of the fact that Pluto now is finally moving into 0 degrees of Aquarius to stay. And that is occurring over the next month, that Pluto, after 3 passes back and forth at the end of Capricorn, you know, stepping into zero Aquarius about a year ago, going back, finishing up with the last degrees of Capricorn, finally will be moving into zero Aquarius. Well, this is significant because this Jupiter-Saturn cycle, which is one that I always look forward to, I love it so much. Jupiter-Saturn in the Hebrew culture was the seeding of the will of God on earth, you know, the will of God coming down to earth among humanity for divine order, for healthy ethics, and, you know, love thy neighbor and mutual respect and, you know, all the good ways that make our lives fulfilling and joyful. And so they had their reset December 2020, and we haven't seen much of that one. Well, it's a shorter cycle. It's only a 20-year cycle. Pluto-Saturn is heavier and bigger. Those two are farther out in the solar system. They're a little farther out. They have a little more clout. But Jupiter and Saturn is going to be activated. The cycle that began in December 2020 is going to be activated by the power of Pluto over the next several months as Pluto moves to zero Aquarius and then does not go back into Capricorn again. So that's quite significant. And you can read about this cycle on this slide if you want to. I marked with a green arrow here the next time that Jupiter and Saturn have their opening trine, which is a 120-degree flowing angle of harmony. That's April 2026 through July 27, you know, about a year there. And that's when this new cycle that began in December 2020, quietly, behind the scenes. These cycles are so great that we can't really see them usually for a while, sometimes for several years, except that Saturn-Pluto came down so hard and heavy right off the bat. But this Jupiter-Saturn cycle is going to begin to come forward, come forth. And if we look at first quarter on this graphic, we see that's happening this year, August 2024 to June 2025. That's the crisis phase where what's new among us, what was seeded in 2020, December, when these two planets came together, their new cycle that they initiated of creativity, of empowerment, of progress, and you know, coming forward into creation and manifesting, begins to manifest at the opening square that we're in now. And that's when there's the fight to bring it forward. That's where we rally, we come together. Everybody has to take action to move forward with that gift and that blessing of that new cycle of Jupiter and Saturn. And then they will come into a point of ease and blessings in 2026 to first half of 2027. Then the ease and blessings of whatever we've created, whatever we've committed to, you know, whatever we've worked together comes forward in ease and begins to flow in strength and empowerment. Next. Okay. Most people don't realize that the Constitution, the supreme law of our land, wasn't created until 11 years after July 4, 1776. There was a Jupiter-Saturn conjunction that occurred on November 5th, 1782 at 28 degrees of Sagittarius. So that planted that seed then in 1782 of the seeding of the will of God on Earth via Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in Sagittarius. 28 degrees is very close to the galactic center, by the way. I would say it is conjunct the galactic center, which is so large, it's 26 and 27 of Sagittarius, which is the heart of our universe, by the way. This is the chart of the United States Constitution when it was ratified, and it took them a couple of years to do that. That was not easy. They had to travel. They had to ride horses all over the land to get the signatures, get this ratified. And we see that that Jupiter-Saturn cycle was in its opening trine, and that's the ease of flow, when the Constitution was given birth and came forward as the supreme law of this land. I think that's noteworthy, Jupiter-Saturn coming forward, coming out with something, a new blessing for the world. Next. This year, 2024, record year, 65 elections worldwide. They've been going on, and there's been a fair amount of fighting, fair amount of underhanded theft and steal and bullying, etc., you know, that I've noted. Next. Chiron, you know me. If you have readings with me, then you know that Chiron is my subject of of study. I love Chiron. It's my passion. Chiron is not really a planet. It's not from our solar system. It has come from somewhere else. And people still argue about what it is. So I just call it a minor planet. Some people still think it's a comet. It could be. I don't think so, but Chiron is unique. So it came from somewhere else into our solar system. And here the white circle is the orbit of Chiron, which is object number 2060. And we see that Chiron created a bridge. When a new planetary body comes into the solar system, then it awakens humanity to a new energy, to a new circuitry of new energy that brings. And we see that Chiron crosses the orbit of Saturn and the orbit of Uranus. Saturn used to be the limits of the solar system for a long time because that was as far as we could see with the naked eye looking at the planets. Saturn was the farthest out we could see for centuries. It was believed that that was it. Then as we developed better ways of viewing deeper into space, then we were able to see the outer planets. Saturn is the material world consciousness, and Uranus is crown chakra consciousness. It rules Aquarius, which is innovative, inventive, bigger picture teachings, electricity, lightning, sciences, crown chakra energies manifesting. And so Chiron helped to open up the crown chakras of humanity when it was discovered in the late 70s. And the fact that it crossed the orbits of Uranus and Saturn then helped to build that circuitry out of material world consciousness where humanity had been largely locked, and by now perhaps maybe again, especially with the lower ego mind becoming the entrenched circuitry to some extent here. But Chiron helped to open up and bridge between the personal ego and the impersonal, the bigger picture, the greater ingenuity, innovation, liberation. But that we want to be very conscious about machines and how much do they actually liberate us. There's balance and discernment to be used there, because that's Uranus, is the machines and the technology. Chiron then brought in a bridge to greater consciousness for humanity in the 70s when it was recently discovered or rediscovered. The glyph for Chiron looks like a key, as we see, and it is most definitely a key. And in my studies of my years of being an astrologer, to me, Chiron is the key to fulfillment here on Earth and ultimately graduation and whole being next. Okay, Chiron's the wounded healer. Most of you have heard this from me before at least once. So next, the key to whole being reclamation, your spirit, free soul, your animal soul, your breath soul, because Chiron is the animal, human, and divine integrating in the human heart. Next. Yes, next. Chiron energy flows through the hands and feet. Chiron is associated with the Christ light. In the crucifixion, most of you know that I'm a stigmatist. I get Easter in my hands and feet, but not on the Western calendar, on the Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox calendar, okay? Don't ask me why. In the 80s, when I started to get more dramatic Easters where my hands would turn red and everything, sometimes I'd fall down on an elevator or something. Oh, my God. You know, that was just really wild for me and difficult. And, you know, I'd just break out into tears on a city bus or something. But by now, you know, by now I've come into peace with it. And it's not so dramatic. And it's not even so painful. The chakras in my hands and feet have opened up so much more to conduct healing energy, which every one of us has those sacred gifts of spirit. Every one of us has healing gifts that nobody else has. And that's what Chiron tells us about in your astrology chart. Your gifts of spirit, your most precious, innocent self, the nearest to great spirit, and the deep soul wound every one of us carries with the perception of separation and duality here on Earth. And so the hands, human touch, healing hands, this is what Chiron is constantly working with us to keep the flow open and to develop. And isn't it something that in 2020, a lot of body workers were put out of business? I knew body workers in Washington State were put out of business overnight because of some law that they passed that you couldn't do body work with people and touch them because of COVID. The Chiron energy among us really did get shut down quite a bit in 2020 when Saturn and Pluto came in and initiated this turn of the age. Humanity's response to that was, less than I had hoped and probably less than we had hoped. And so this is what Chiron is helping us always to get back. Heal our souls. It's our responsibility to heal our souls. Next. This is a book I recommend for people who want to understand better the archetype of Chiron. Excellent book. Not expensive. Wonderful to read. Inspirational. It's insightful. Next. Saturn Chiron cycle is quite unusual. And we did discuss this in the talk in March, that since Chiron's orbit is so different from any planet in our solar system, it's so elliptical, it comes from so far away, and it's at such an angle to the ecliptic, quite an angle. Then instead of one opposition, as we have with the solely lunar cycle at the full moon phase, we actually had 27 oppositions at the last full moon phase between Saturn and Chiron. Saturn-Chiron conjunction, or new moon phase, is rare. I've listed the last three on the left side. It's rare that Saturn and Chiron come together because of the difference in their orbits. This cycle portrays our greatest issues and problems on this planet as human beings, and that is falling into the war against nature. Because Chiron is the harmony, the divine order, the unity, mutual respect and love between animal, human, and divine. We are all three. We are here to integrate all three. But there's something about human nature that doesn't want to be here, that doesn't want to be in harmony with the paradise that we've been given here, that wants to believe it has a better idea, wants to put down the animals or the dirt or dumb as a rock. We hear talk like this. that rock may be a lot smarter than that individual in terms of perception and consciousness over time. So humanity falls into this, and we all are acquainted with this. If it's the neighbor with the Roundup spraying away, people will go after the weeds with a vengeance, and people fall into this, and sometimes it's largely unconscious. Sometimes what we need to be healed may be growing as a weed in the backyard or something. So this is a huge issue for humanity, and the hugeness of it is portrayed here by this cycle between Saturn and Chiron. Next. And that's where I've mapped out this current cycle and where we're at with it. You can check that at your leisure if you're so inclined. Next. A little bit more about Chiron. I'm not going to talk all these words because maybe you already heard it in March. I don't exactly remember. Next. Okay, the U.S. natal chart shows us clearly that we are at a place in time on this planet, on this land. And just a note, some of us, like moi, were here as natives before and are here now in a white skin. since I had 20 years of past life regression against my will, healing my soul, I know that it's really quite superficial to get too hooked into who did what to whom in her history, because how many of us have lived on all sides of these issues? They're the same issues. They keep coming up over and over. It always comes down to the people standing on the land and the power hungry trying to undermine and steal the people standing on the land, steal their power, enslave them, whatever. It's the same old thing over and over and over. Well, the United States chart shows us that it's the destiny of this country, currently United States of America, this land, to come to the point where we are exactly at right now with a grand cross between Saturn. This is the natal chart of the United States, okay? Saturn in the 12th house in Libra, relationships. Pluto, that's the natal Pluto there, in the 3rd house, 27 degrees of Capricorn. Chiron at 20 degrees of Aries, which is a huge activation now. Not only for our nation, but for the world. Our Chiron at 20 degrees of Aries was hugely activated when Pfizer came out with that first shot. Hugely activated by Mars and the eclipse and much more. And then Mercury up in the 9th house, the natal Mercury for the United States in Cancer, 24 degrees, opposing Pluto, as we mentioned. So this country started up with a grand cross challenge. Chiron, as we know, is the wounded healer and has to do with the healing and the unity of our beings and the wholeness on this planet. But the 6th house is health. Health, diet, self-care, small animals, the order in our lives, our sacred work and service, serving each other, like Yeshua taught us, washing each other's feet, you know, caring for each other, loving each other. We have this grand cross for this country. That started up when it did in 1776, that is being super activated by the Pluto return. And as we will see, we are in our Chiron return right now. That happens every 50 years. That's not so novel event as the Pluto return. But we see that this is lit. This is very lit. And this tells us that we were meant to come to this point in time here now and to walk through the fire, through the center of these issues, and to come through and graduate into the greatness that is our potential here on this planet Earth, and to also show the way for the rest of the world as well. Next. Okay, North Node, total solar eclipse. This was the eclipse we had last April 8, which was so phenomenal. Shadow across the land. I think we talked about that pretty well. I think that we did. Strongest solar eclipse since 1918 for the United States of America, for this continent. And we are in our Chiron return. Here's the USA chart, and I've got a big red marker by Chiron. And this was the solar eclipse of April. It was right on our Chiron, at our Chiron return. Major potential for revitalizing true healing in this land, among the people, for revitalizing Chiron and Aries. Our ability to take action, to do, to stand up and to be in our I am, and to bring the power of our I am forward. Because with Chiron in Aries, that's wounded. It's been wounded for this country. It took great sacrifice and courage and commitment in the beginning with the Revolutionary War. And it's calling for the same kind of strength of character and commitment now. Not quite as extreme as no shoes in the winter and all this. But this is very, very significant time that we're in. Chiron, since it is retrograde now, it returns on November 7. That's 2 days after our election. On the day of the United States election, November 5, Chiron is 4 minutes away from its second return. That's how important this particular election is for these archetypes and processes in our nation. And then we have the 3rd and final Chiron return, February 18. The heat is on. Next. All right, I listed things here with the April 8th eclipse, and I'm not going to talk about it much. Yeah, we've really seen some weather. And I did this month by month, plotting on the map, because that eclipse was so potent on April 8th that it'll be in effect for 2 years, at least 2 years, not quite as obviously after 2 years. I listed events, if you want to look at that, plotted them on a map. Next. Okay, so we had a full moon of 3 degrees of Sagittarius. May 23rd, 2024. I do these charts for Washington, D.C., because that's the head of the country, you know, the district, supposedly. I know it's corporate. But then again, the Washington Monument had the prayers of the people inside it. Who lived there at the time. So let's not project evil onto things that may not be. So this is actually a pretty nice full moon in May, but let's flip down and see what happened next. Oh, yeah, I included this because in our talk I mentioned hail, that it was going to be an issue this year, hail and storms and such. This one, we see that Saturn was on the midheaven. You know, that's where the energy of the planet is more visible. And it ran within 200 miles either side of the line, ran right through Yuma, Colorado. And I don't know how many people heard what happened there. They had a hailstorm that went on and on and on. With such large hail, it broke all the windshields of the cars and it broke the windows of the houses and apartments and stores in Yuma, Colorado. That demonstrates the duality, the heightened polarization of temperatures that created that great of a hail event on May 23rd. And so that's why I included this. Clearly something had happened on the East Coast also, but I don't even remember by now. It would be on my maps. Yeah, severe weather in May. Woo! Next. That really went on. Also this full moon astrocartography. Next. When Uranus is on the IC or the base point of a chart, that's when people get displaced. Not every time, of course. It depends on the energies of the moon. But here we see in Papua New Guinea, they had a major landslide. 3,000 people died in that landslide, and that was marked by the astrocartography. They are in the Ring of Fire area, and often eclipses will activate Ring of Fire up to a month before and after the eclipse. Next. Here's May. You can look at that if you want. Next. Oh, yeah. Remember Greenfield, Iowa? Well, that was marked in the astrocartography by the eclipse spot on. Next, there's the aftermath of the tornado that hit. Yeah, so if you flip back up to the initial map for May 2024, I've got that clearly marked where you can see that Greenfield, Iowa was taken out, and it was right where the lines crossed between Pluto descending in the west and the sun moon overhead on the eclipse of April 8, 2024. That manifested on May 21st. That energy broke through. That energy created some devastation there. May 21st in Iowa. All right, next. Now, the WHO meeting was in the offing. After we had our talk, they were very concerned about that. And we see that the United States chart, the United States Chiron, was really a major piece of the puzzle they were trying to pull together for their agenda. This is the chart of the meeting start. We see that the blue arrow marks the moon was coming up to the USA Pluto, which squares the USA Chiron, which is in Chiron return, and we see on the outer ring that Mars, red Mars glyph there, is right at our natal Chiron, and right at where Chiron is returning, etc. So, in other words, activating the Grand Cross of our nation. Thank God they didn't succeed with what they hoped for. Next. This is the end of the meeting, and I was analyzing this pretty closely, and it came out that they really weren't able to accomplish what they wanted to. They tried to say that they did, and they tried to put things on paper. But if anybody watched those meetings at the WHO when they were trying to do this, to get everybody under an agenda that would give the WHO military power of the nations to force vaccines on people? Oh, God. But if anybody saw those meetings, they're just a bunch of idiots. They're just not even bright. This isn't any big, deep, dark, powerful. In the USA, I call it the derp state. Deep state in terms of fat asses deeply entrenched, but not smart. These are not smart and not bright people. And Tedros is at the top of the pile there. Next. I take comfort when I look at the chart for when the World Health Organization created its constitution. I don't have an exact time knowing when it was ratified, but a new one is pretty good, you know, to get a pretty good idea. This is being activated by eclipses now, this chart. And in 2025, they're going to have some serious problems to deal with because the eclipse at 29 of Virgo on September 21, 2025, and then the Saturn-Neptune conjunction coming up at zero Aries is going to hit this chart quite hard. And their purpose and mission or whatever is going to be very challenged. In fact, it already is, more than we hear about in the news, I'm sure of it. Anyway, there's a lot of negativity here, a lot of bully energy, a lot of people full of themselves with Pluto, Saturn, and Mars in square to the nodes of the moon. That's really out of order with life. Next. Okay, June 6th. I just included this to show you some things that can happen. You can look at these maps and charts if you want to. It's not important enough for us to discuss much. Next. The new moon of June 6, 2024, astrocartography marked the Middle East there, and there was quite a fire at Saturn, which, of course, we expected, since the map showed us that in advance. Next. Full moon, June 21. Next. You can look at that if you want to. Next. Okay, that hailstone came from that Yuma event that I mentioned, and this is just showing us a few more events. For people who are interested, you know, sometimes other astrologers study what I put out like this and understanding how this works and seeing the details of what's going on. In our talk, I did mention that hail was going to be a big issue because of the polarization of temperatures throughout the land. I do know that the state of Montana lost its entire crop of huckleberries this year because they all grow in one area of the state. They cannot be agriculturally cultivated and grown. They only grow wild, and that area was hit by hail, and they lost their entire crop. So it depends on where you were this year as to how well people fared with growing things with the Jupiter-Uranus blessing. We had so much rain, it was just like jungle here, even in the city, with the way people's flowers were growing. And then now it's quite dry at the end of the year, and we can expect that there will be more problems with water supply and drought over the next 2 years as Saturn and Neptune conjoin at 0 degrees of Aries. That will be one of the main issues, is water supply and then big rains in certain places and mold and problems that come with flooding and such. Next. July 5th, new moon of Cancer, squared the moon's nodes. Well, we knew there was going to be some kind of event then that would be correctional in some way. That would probably be a political thing and quite difficult. We see Venus was square to Chiron, so that is bound to bring some hurt. Venus in Cancer, a sign of domestic security and political matters and such. Next. Then we had the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Oh. And this chart, on the 13th of July, so clearly showed the potential for him to be shot and killed, that I was really concerned about this, very concerned, and watching it closely and praying about it, etc. So what we may notice, his natal chart is on the inner ring here, and we don't have time to talk about his natal chart, which is very interesting, except to say that he was born on a lunar eclipse. And that's why he's got a little more chi energy than the average individual. People who are born on either solar or lunar eclipses, they have a stronger vitality, stronger personality, because there's more duality to their makeup, and they either come into great shining with that or they self-destruct. I've seen both happen. So he's an eclipse baby, and he is out of the box. As I've been studying his astrology over the last few years, he's just out of the box. So here on the outer ring, I just want to point out where I've got the red dot on the top. That's the midheaven. That's Donald Trump's midheaven. He has Uranus up there right now going back and forth, bringing him into his greatest standing over the next year or so. And we see Mars was conjunct Uranus, and that was exactly square to his Mars rising in Leo, 26 degrees of Leo. Mars and Uranus were squaring his Mars rising. In the 12th house, that's the hidden enemies coming out to try to get you. Then we had the Sun in the outer ring was at his Saturn and squaring Chiron, opposing his moon, second to eighth houses. That's a very difficult T-square, Chiron, the eighth house of death, that could have gone that way. And then Saturn square his moon. Okay, so this is all clear to me as an astrologer, but we have another time coming up in the first quarter of next year where he's in danger again. We need to have prayers. We need to support him spiritually. What I was delighted to see is as a result of this experience of being shot in the ear, we saw him surrender more to Great Spirit. That was huge. He surrendered more. That brings out the best of Mars and Leo in the 12th house in terms of ability to be a leader. When you give up your ego in the 12th house, then your greater being can come through. Your greater talents and gifts and contributions to the world, you see, have a clearer way to come out and manifest. So congratulations to him for coming through that as well as he did. And that brought a lot of things to light, didn't it, about the derp state and such next. Okay, we have this full moon of August, and we see this is quite a tangle of tension. So I was concerned about it all year, but then also Mercury's retrograde for the whole month of August, and so we knew some of the energy would be introverted next. And so this is some of the incidents that were marked in the astrocartography. I have them listed next. Then we just had our partial lunar eclipse, September 17, at 25 of Pisces. Mars was square the nodes next. There's the shadow path. And then here we have the astrocartography. And I don't even remember what happened where I have the star. And there's the worldwide astrocartography next. Okay, then we had our solar eclipse on October 2nd at 10 degrees of Libra. And we see what an interesting chart that is. We see that Mars is really the fulcrum of this chart. You know, Mars is very important because of all the aspects pointing to Mars. And we had a grand trine, that's the green triangle, which brings through a real nice circuitry of supportive energy. And then we have the squares to Mars, which is quite warlike, and that has brought up a lot of relationship issues for people. Next. There's some events. Cuba and also Haiti activated in these times and continue to be going forward. My former husband just left for Guantanamo Bay. He's right there, so he's a special forces guy. He's been all over the world, speaks five languages. He's retired military now, but he contracts all over the world and works with countries. So he's down there where the lights were out. Their whole electric grid just went out for a while. They're having problems, real problems in Cuba and Haiti also. And those are going to continue through first quarter, and they're going to affect the United States. Next. Okay, then we had the super full moon of Aries. So this we just had October 17. This is the most amazing moon of the year. I have the total solar eclipse of April 8 marked on the chart of this full moon. And there we see the full moon is right on Chiron, right on our Chiron return. This is not the nation's chart. This is just the chart of the moon. But we know that Chiron is right where the nation's Chiron is. And this full moon was right on it. Oh, my goodness. And this chart had geometrical configurations such as I have never seen in one chart. I have not. I've been an astrologer since I was 16 years old, and I've never seen this. A cardinal grand cross. Well, we know our country has a grand cross, which is also a cardinal grand cross, okay? A grand trine, that's the green triangle, and a yod formation, which is the finger of God. So I broke these three out. Next. Here's the full moon to the USA chart. And the USA chart's in the inner ring, and the outer ring is the full moon. We see it's right on our Chiron, isn't it? Oh my gosh. Oh. And so this is activating the Grand Cross for the country majorly. It's really started up the turn of the age for this country into 2025. We see that the sun in Libra opposing the moon on Chiron, and we see that Mars up in the ninth house opposing Pluto in the third is the USA Grand Cross being super activated. We see that Jupiter just came up to the USA Mars and turned retrograde just within a few minutes of getting to it. USA Mars is in the eighth house of regeneration. Self-regeneration, regeneration of the nation. Jupiter came that close and turned back around and will come back forward next spring to give us the opportunity to implement true regeneration throughout the land. This is pretty amazing the way the stars are aligning with what's going on in the country that we live in at this time on Earth next. So this just shows you the Grand Cross and the Yod, the finger of God, across the horizon. And the next is just the finger of God with the Mars-Pluto opposition. Finger of God across the horizon. It would take me a half hour to explain it, but it's essentially a special onus on us here now to get real. And the power of God comes down to earth and moves through the people who are open avenues for spirit to work, who are doing their sacred work, having their prayers daily, whatever way that we be the best that we can be to serve and be present and do our part in these amazing times is engaged by the finger of God to move forward in power. Next. Okay, in this full moon, if we take out the stress aspects, except the finger of God is still here in the Mars-Pluto opposition, we see that a Star of David is just starting to form. It's just starting to shine through all this energy. The hexagon or the Star of David, I've got up in the upper left corner. That symbolizes the perfect balance. Humanity standing in power, in balance between heaven and earth, mediating in love, being present and living our lives in love and in power. That's the ideal for the human race on the earth, is symbolized by the Star of David. And here we see it starting to peek through. The blue lines are sextiles at 60-degree angles. And we have one, two, three, four, five. That is highly unusual. Five sextiles? This is deeply encouraging. This is the full moon chart in Washington, D.C. We see Pluto's right at the base point, right on the foundation point, when this full moon occurred. Next. So I've been deeply touched and moved by that. To me, that geometry is speaking to us of the momentous time we're in, turning this age together. And on that full moon, I saw light in people's faces that I see regularly, like my daughter and friends and people that I touch with regularly. I saw the light beginning to break through in their faces and in their presence in a totally refreshing, greater being empowering way. I was stunned by what I saw, and I also experienced that myself. The initiation of a joy breaking through, of the dawning, of turning the corner, the light at the end of the tunnel, turning the age and gathering power to create anew. The light is starting to stream in, and the full moon of October opened that energy circuitry for us as a gift to all who would receive, engage, and take up that energy and live moment by moment, day by day. Next. There's the astrocartography. Not gonna really talk about it. We see Pluto on the IC on the base point. That's the line going right through Washington, D.C. And then, of course, you know, the flooding. The East Coast has been repeatedly in the news, and also Cuba and Haiti. We see that area of longitude being repeatedly activated as we go into next year. So next. And we may note a lot of things are happening. A lot of truth is coming forward. Events are starting to move. The first picture on the left here, the gentleman was talking about how the people have come together in North Carolina. The government hasn't helped where he was at. They had someone show up one day and it was just too much for them. They left. But people have come from around the United States with heavy equipment, just people coming with what they can do to pitch in, to take care of each other, to open up these roads for the people who lost everything. They don't even have a road to go anywhere. And he was just so lit, so energized, and so inspired by the people coming together. He said, this is real. This is what's happening. To him, whatever's going on with the election, he couldn't care less because it wasn't making a bit of difference where he was doing his sacred work in the moment. It was wonderful to see. And then we realize sometimes it takes these difficult, painful experiences to remind us, remind us of who and what we are. You know, Americans, by and large, don't know how to stand up, don't know how to fight for what's right, don't know how to have healthy boundaries anymore. But when we have events like this, we start to get real again. We start to remember our right place in creation. We lose that because we get out of touch with nature. The more we're divorced from nature, then the more confused we become about who and what we are and our right place here on the earth between heaven and earth in harmony and divine order with all the beings. Okay, and then COVID vaccines, Kevin McKernan came out and clearly delineated the DNA contamination that cannot be argued in the COVID vaccines that people tragically took into their bodies. But that was a pretty powerful, brief presentation that he gave, and what amazing work he's doing. Bill Gates ordered to stand trial. Well, isn't it about time? And he's going to have to show up for that. Line in the Sand just came out. I've only seen parts of it, and it's pretty amazing. Real work being done. You know, people living their passion, doing their sacred work. It's phenomenal. It's dynamic. And it's inspirational, too. Next. New York court just reinstated, fired unvaccinated workers for Richmond County. Next. How about this one? This just came out today. Public transit workers fired due to COVID vaccine mandate to get over $1 million each. Whoa, that's going to change some perspectives. Wowee, this is what we need. Next. Okay, well, then there's the dark side to this too. Oh, in our challenges, but we know it's all perfect for what we need to step up for here. We know it's all perfect for where we're at here and now. The Tren de Agua gang activities and how they've established themselves. I've plotted incidents of arrests of the TDA gang for us to see on this map. They are becoming established. We know that Pluto return was going to bring cartel activities right into our country. And yes, it has, and it's a growing problem. And the picture on the lower right is La Barbie, who is a very infamous female member of the TDA gang. And she is the face of the worst of Pluto. She's especially known for attacking women illegal immigrants as they come in, forcing drugs into their mouth and forcing them into sexual slavery right off the bat. A number of bars were raided just within the last week, about 8 of them, I believe. and horrendous human trafficking conditions were found. Women enslaved, many women in filthy back rooms, just beyond anything that we are accustomed to discovering here in our nation. Really nasty stuff. So this is what we have to stand up to, call it out, root it out, stop it, call to account. It's up to us. We cannot allow this activity to take root in our country if we want to survive as a nation. It is self-destruction for any nation, and we the people are responsible for what we allow to rule in our land. Everybody fleeing their home country? Well, why didn't they stand up? It's a false victim process. Yes, I know the actions of the preceding generations, the inactions of the preceding generations, and it all adds up until people are fleeing cartels in their land. Are we going to do that here? That's the question. Are we going to allow the unworthy, the evil, to rule in our land? That's the question we are facing now in all its reality.